Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. I am your host, your groove mistress, and your spiritual advisor, Madame Perry, and I'm happy to be here again. If you tried to listen last week, you know we had a little technical difficulties. I apologize for that. Don't know what to say, but tonight is going to make up for it, believe me. I have as co-host somebody that if you follow me or know me, you know this person very well. A good friend of Madame Perry, very talented, and sometimes he's done characters on the show. He's done videos for clients social media. Yeah, that's the thing. And just an all-around fun person to know. Peter G., animator, comic strip creator, author, and just all-around fun person. Peter, welcome back to Madame Perry Salon.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me back in. I brought pizza.
Oh! When there's a person that has pizza, it's always welcome. Do you hear an echo on my end?
No, I don't. You sound fine to me.
Okay, good. Good. Glad to know that. Only in my ears. So, Peter, we're going to do some interesting things tonight. But then again, that shouldn't be difficult for you. Isn't your company is Sign Timore? Am I pronouncing that incorrectly already?
Well, it's Latin. It's a dead language. You can pronounce it however you want. I just pronounce it Sign Timore.
Sign Timore, animation studios.
Yeah, you can pronounce a chicken noodle soup. No one's going to stop you.
Okay. Okay. I think it's what, human doing strange things in the name of art. Is that your tagline?
Yes.
Your motto.
Human artist.
Your raison d'etre for the business. Anyway, over the years and... Right now, I'm not even sure if I can remember how we met years ago, but I have gotten to know your world and the characters you create, and they absolutely delight me. You've got a series of comics or video. Actually, there are videos of Herman Crab.
Mm-hmm.
Very eco-conscious crab there, and his world and everything he's doing to try to make things better. Also... You have a comic strip called Stress Puppy. It's about daily life in an office. And, oh, you nail everybody, but you've got one character, Holly. I think she's the IT princess.
Yep. Yeah, she's the CTO, and you don't mess with her.
No, and I want you to come up with some swag for her because I would wear a hat, T-shirt, bag, anything with Holly on it.
Yeah, Rath may be the star, but Holly's got the following, so.
And, yeah, exactly. And isn't that the way it is, right, in real life?
I subscribe to the Jack Benny theory that it doesn't matter who gets the laugh as long as someone gets the laugh. And since Rath is supposed to be the voice of reason and Holly is the unknown element, it tends to gravitate towards her anyway. So, when the storyline is going straight, Rath's in charge. When I need to shake things up, that's when she steps in.
Well, I love Holly. And just for people, like I said, people who are just getting to know you, I know there are lots of people that know you, and I know you've got some very interesting, prestigious clients for your work. But you also have some books you've written. Tell us about those, Wing and a Prayer and
Okay, yeah, those are the Hannah Singer Celestial Advocate book series. The idea of it is, you know how you have people that say you're being naughty, you're being sinful, you're going to burn in hell? She's your defense attorney on the other side. And her whole job is, yeah, you can tell a lot about how I view religion because she represents God's, a former atheist represents God's mercy, and the churches are usually the bad guys, so.
Yeah, you know, I, as I was telling you earlier, recently I had author Peter Canova on the show, and when I mentioned that about Hannah Singer and her and what she does, her character, he says, oh, yeah, because he just busted out laughing. He said, that's what everybody be afraid of, like, oh, no, we get to heaven and there's an attorney?
it's a growth industry.
Yeah. And, yeah, now the Hannah Singer books, you have two of them.
Three.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, there's the first one, Hannah Singer, Celestial Advocate. There's On a Wing and a Prayer, and then there's Hope Springs Eternal.
Okay, that's it. I've got the last two then, Hope Springs Eternal and On a Wing and a Prayer. So tell me about your readers and what their comments on it and what they say about Hannah Singer and the whole concept of it.
Well, I'm lucky that most of my readers are open-minded. And I mean, I've gotten from all across the gambit. I mean, I've got, you know, Christian readers, I've got Jewish readers, I've got atheist readers. I mean, it really runs the gamut. And it's more because instead of just being a book series that's like, no, this is, you got to keep in mind, when Jesus was doing his parables, there is not one parable about worshiping the correct God. They're all about being good to your fellow man and standing up for those who need it. I mean, it drives me crazy to think that in our current world, everyone thinks that bringing prayer into school is Christian, but giving free lunches to the poor is not.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the people out there that claim to be Christian, Jesus would be – because remember, Jesus was about challenging the people in the church who were more interested in protecting their social status and their, hey, look how awesome I am, rather than actually helping those in need. That was his main emphasis. That was where he mainly drew the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's because the stories go with that instead of just being, you know, standard church propaganda that, you know, you get in the missalettes or, God help me, in the chick tracts, that's why it resonates. Well, that plus the fact that Hannah's a great character. Because when I created her, I wanted her to be the smartest person in the room. But, when I created her, my whole motivation was a scene in Star Trek Generations when Picard and Kirk are getting ready to face the bad guy at the end. And when Picard was on the screen, you know, everyone in the audience was just sitting there. But as soon as Kirk showed up, everyone was at attention, like, yeah, you're going to get it now. And that was the reaction I wanted. And that was the reaction I wanted with Hannah. It's like, yes, these are the trickiest cases. These are the ones, and you're so afraid you're going to go to hell. And then she turns up as your attorney. It's like, yeah, now we got a fighting chance. We might actually survive this thing. So, but that also means that the stories have to be really smart because you need something worthy of her and her skill in order to make the stories engaging. You know, somebody who just stole like a pack of gum when they were a kid, that's not an interesting story. But, like, the story of Joan of Arc and how she was railroaded into death and the church is trying to protect themselves from realizing they killed the messenger of God, that becomes an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't Hannah, even though when Hannah comes to heaven, you know, she was on earth an atheist and now she is a celestial advocate, doesn't she has angels, certain angels that will walk her through all the business of heaven?
Well, her boss is Saint Michael the Archangel, and he's a lot of fun to write because if you're really familiar with Christianity, Saint Michael is one of the biggest pranksters in all of creation, and that made sense to put him in charge of the celestial courts because if anybody understands human motivation, human frailty, human fear, it's him. So he's her boss, and at the start, he's guiding her through things. And she's still learning from him to this day. I mean, she's been on the job for 700 years at this point. But but the important thing is that there's always more to learn, there's always more to understand. I mean, in the second book, the very first story is about a trans person who has a sex change operation, suddenly isn't sure that they were happy with that decision, and the church trying to use that as a basis to condemn people to hell because clearly that's not normal. And Hannah has to figure out a way to navigate that, which is a situation that you didn't have until recently because the ability to actually physically change your gender did not exist at the time. And now you do have the occasional person who undergoes a sex change and they do regret it, and sometimes they even reverse it. But it's extremely rare. I want to point out it's extremely rare because every once in a while you get one of these cranks. It's like, there, you see, it's not supposed to happen. Otherwise, these people wouldn't change their minds. Well, yeah, but that's a very small number. The rest that do it are living a perfectly happy life. And you can't tell me that when people are forced to live, you know, within these very narrowly defined parameters of gender identity, and they're miserable, and then they're allowed to live how they want, and all of a sudden it's like everything is open to them again. I don't see how anyone with a good conscience can want to put them back in the box. So, yeah, understanding and open-mindedness, that's the main things that drive the stories, and specifically how a lot of modern Christians like to want to undo that. They're more interested in being instruments of God's wrath than God's understanding, and that's where most of the conflict in the stories comes from.
I see. Yeah. So these are very popular books, and so I'll be putting in a link to not only the Hannah Singer series, but also to everything else that Peter does and where to find out about it, and all of my social media. So we've got so much more talk about, but I have also said that I have some different music coming in from guests that are coming up soon to play, and I know it's a lot to ask of a good friend like you, but I would like to you know, kind of be DJ with me here for a bit, if you don't mind.
Okay, Twin Spin Sound Sandwich, let's serve it up.
Okay, all right. Not this past, but the August before, that was, 2022, I went to Los Angeles in August of that month. The main reason was that I had a client, an author client, a very creative client, and I had scheduled her for a book signing event in Barnes & Noble in Rancho Cucamonga. And while I was there, I got to meet some people that I knew in L.A. that I had known thanks to the wonderful world we live in, because after all, I've met a lot of people through the internet and social media that I wouldn't have known, and one of them was Deanna Bellarose. So while I was there, I looked her up, and she took me to a few cool night spots in L.A. One was a dive bar, which I love a dive bar, called Universal Bar and Grill, and I saw some friends of hers in a band called Trucker Bomb playing. Now, I think the main writers in the front of the band is Ursula Laurie and Troy. Oh my gosh, Troy, let me get your last name. I was just so in love with this band. And they're going to be on a special guest soon. But for right now, I'm going to have, I think we should have a little Trucker Bob music. I mean, from the name, what do you look for? What do you expect?
Something very unique.
Yeah, yeah. Got to have some power to it, right? Of course. So, this song is called Everything by Trucker Bob from out of Los Angeles. Here we go.
Thank you.
Everything by Trucker Bomb, band out of L.A., with my friends Troy Richardson and Ursula Lurie. What do you think, Peter? Are you still with me? Okay, I don't hear you. Maybe he's taking a nap, going to get something to drink. The Los Angeles Times, Trucker Bomb, like a said they were like a truck stop version of Sting. Now, if that was the only thing I ever heard about them, I would definitely go see them. So, and they will be guest on Madame Perry Salon very soon. So, Peter, you still with me? Okay, I'm not hearing you very well, so... let's see, what else has been happening? I've got,
having a little trouble hearing you through the phone, but yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, great. Now I was having trouble hearing you too, so thank goodness we're all together. I love Trucker Bomb. I wish they'd come to all over the country. Now, there's another, actually I'm going to go ahead and play some more music. There's another friend of mine, Larry Marcinko out of Atlanta, Georgia. He's got a band called Sonic Merchants. Now, you know, sometimes when people try to do a song that's got maybe a special message, whether it's something about love your neighbor or treat your planet well or something, sometimes they can come off rather hokey. They don't always have the drive. Unless you're Adrian Belew or Todd Rundgren or someone like that, you can really make it powerful. Well, this artist, Larry Marcinko, this song is called Dance Across the Aisle, and it'll be easy to figure this one out. And I'm going to play Larry Marcinko of Sonic and Sonic Merchants, Dance Across the Aisle.
I was talking to a friend about the political scene. I said, now don't be offended if you think we disagree. Just come on over, honey, and dance across the aisle with me. Well, Atlanta, Boston, Washington, D.C. Everybody's stuck on their own ideology. Well, come on, I'm begging pretty, pretty, please. Let go your preconceptions and dance across the aisle with me. Let's rock.
Ugh, what a day. I just need some me time for once. Yes, perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't make time for yourself, no one else will.
All right. That was Dance Across the Aisle. Larry Marcinko created that. And by the way, he and his band, the Sonic Merchants, if you're in Georgia, around Atlanta, Georgia, Decatur, Georgia, they'll be at Waller's Coffee Shop on May 11th, I believe. I'll check to be sure. And for a coffee shop, it's got a lot going on. It's got an indoor and outdoor concert or performance areas. Okay. Now, as I said, I can't even remember right now how long I've been friends with Peter G., animator, author, creator, and musician, actually.
And
any
Polish.
Idea, Peter?
Don't forget Polish.
And Okay. My favorite Polish animator. Now, Peter, you've also, I remember a couple of years ago, it may have been a couple of years because time goes by so fast, you started working with an extremely popular radio show in Chicago, the Sherman and Tingle Show on Chicago's classic rock station, The Drive, 97.1 FM. And please tell the audience about that because I just think this is so cool.
Well, what it is that Sherman Tingle, they're the morning dry time DJs. And on Wednesdays at about 6:30, they have this thing called Ask Blanche, where Tingle does this fantastic voice of Blanche Horowitz, who works in their collections department, giving advice to the listeners who write in with questions. And what happened was that I animated a few of them, and they turned out to be pretty popular. There's one, the radio host, every time a new one comes up, she's taking her phone around and showing it to everybody in the building. So
cool.
Yeah, it's I want to get back into doing it because it's been a while, and I've just been overwhelmed with trying to catch up with other stuff. But, yeah, Blanche is – I do want to get back to working with her because it's just so much fun. And Sherman and Tingle are great guys, so I want to be able to jump back into that when I get the chance.
So, yeah, because I know that – I mean, come on. Afternoon drive time radio, even though people are all into, you know, internet, online stations, or just playing whatever they want, Spotify, whether it's whatever they listen to, Pandora, afternoon drive – FM radio is still major, especially if you're in traffic, whether you're driving to or from work, you feel like you've got friends. Even if you never meet them, you feel like you've got friends on the road with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what a magnificent means of exposure for you.
Yeah, it works out pretty good. So it's interesting because you try to keep them as the star. The main thing is that it's an audio bit, and the thing is that anything that pulls focus from them, I can't do. I can enhance the jokes with my visuals, but mm-hmm. I can't make it about me. It has to be about them because they're the creators and they're the actual talent behind it. So I'm just providing visuals to what's going on. So I could throw in like little gags like the retirement home with the drive-thru service available. But I can't make it. The closest I can get to pulling the focus onto me is when Blanche starts going too far with her descriptions of her sexual adventures, and I just put up the card that says, I'm not drawing this. That's the only time I violate the rule. The rest of the time is everything is on them because that's where the spotlight is.
That's great. And you know, that's another thing that, you know, so many creative people, if people who don't draw or create, you know, or even just people like me who do social media for other people or for businesses, it's a lot more involved than just drawing a picture and writing something on it, isn't it? It's like you've got to think about, or, you know, you start off with, you know, in communications, you know, you learn it's the, you've got your message, the audience you intend to reach or your client intends to reach, and the medium or the means by which you're getting it through to them. Now, that's the basic part, the message, the medium, and the audience. Then when I'm doing Twitter or Instagram or anything else, I guess I still call it Twitter like everybody else, or Facebook, anything like that that I'm doing for a client. And the clients are usually maybe I have some tech clients, I have aerospace clients, and then some musicians that just don't have time to do their own. I have to remember with each one I go in and I have to write it in their voice. As an author, you know that each of your characters has a voice and a style of speaking. So whatever I have to do it in their voice and remember their feelings and their stance on something, what's important to them. And then again, sometimes if you don't know or you're not sure about something, you come up with, now that is genius, to turn around and just put up a sign saying, not going to draw this, which makes it even funnier, you know, because I've seen your work. And when you get to that part, you're laughing because it's sort of like the, like you've got to get to peek into the animator's world and he looks over his shoulder, you look over your shoulder at the reader or the people look at that and going, I can't do, no can do.
Yeah, it's,
I can, but I won't.
Yeah, I know it's bad form for cartoonists to laugh at their own stuff, but the one episode of Ask Blanche where she talks about, quote, doing squats in a cucumber patch, and I just thought the card saying, I'm not drawing this. That makes me laugh because it's like, especially when the co-host is like, did I just hear that right? And they have a discussion about what it means, and I just, I'm not drawing this.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Now, you started doing video. We'll just talk about Videoki. I can try to do an intro into it, but not nearly as clever as you. Tell us about Videoki.
Okay, so, yeah, because Videoki is what brought me to my most recent success. An indie band out of Michigan called The Shakeups commissioned me to do a music video for them. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without Videoki. So where the whole thing starts is the two girls that you see in the logo for Sign to More, that's Rhapsody and Melody. Rhapsody is the girl, Melody is the mermaid. And what it is it was a comic book that I did back in – it started in 2009. And it was just about the book was called Soundwaves. And originally it was going to be a computer game because at the time I was big on coding and trying to create. I just didn't sell enough and the whole thing wound up falling apart. But I had a plan for a game called Soundwaves where Rhapsody was this girl who she becomes convinced she's been hit by a curse. The idea was that the reason that otters are so rare is because they have supposedly takes, according to legends, it takes like 10,000 dog and cat spirits to make one otter spirit. So they have this favored status among the fates. And if you kill an otter, you are invoking the wrath of all kinds of natural gods. Well, Rhapsody gets tricked into thinking that she's the one who killed this otter. So she's on a quest to try and undo this curse. And that's when she starts running into Melody the mermaid, and there were going to be three other mermaids that she meets in the quest. It was going to be kind of like Star Tropics, where it's a quest, but there's also action game elements. And the main thing was using music or using her singing as a way to do the magic spells. And what happened was, well, like I said, the game fell apart, but there was a publisher who was looking for comic stories, but they did 8 to 16 pagers, and I had only worked in 22 pagers at that point. And I needed something that I could test to see if I could even make this work. So I started doing Soundwaves as a 16-pager, and originally it was just going to be a 4-issue miniseries, and that was it. It wasn't even going to follow the plot of the game. It was just, you know, Rhapsody, this girl, meets this mermaid named Melody. They discover Rhapsody can sing just like the mermaids, and that's how they, you know, they harmonize with the water. That's why they don't drown. And it was just about Rhapsody exploring this undersea world. Well, with issue number 2, the friendship between the girls started taking center stage. Basically, I started to lose interest in what I was supposed to do because it was so good drawing the girls together and showing them interacting and being best friends that I wasn't ready to say goodbye to them. So I made a quick change to the end of issue number 2, chucked the plans for 3 and 4, came up with number 3 to help establish, you know, Rhapsody being trusted by the other mer people and welcomed into the world, and then the series went from there. And at the center of it all, it's a tribute to the ocean. I'm a water sign, so I love the water. It's a tribute to music, but at its core, it's still about the friendship between the girls. So that's where the whole thing started from. And what happened was a couple of years ago, a friend of mine was telling me that if I'm looking to really expand my animation output, I should consider doing music videos because there's always indie bands that need music videos made for them. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't quite sure what to do or even where to start with this because, you know, how do you pick and how do you create a visual? Because you're basically auditioning, and if the person you're doing the video for doesn't like what you did, well, you've just shot yourself in the foot. And what happened was one day I was watching TV, and I was watching Boomerang. And they had this old Hanna-Barbera cartoon called The Chattanooga Cats. I don't know if you ever saw it.
Mm-mm.
Okay. It was your typical Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the era where you had your usual gag cartoons, and they would break it up with little music performance pieces of the bands, the Chattanooga Cats, like a minute and a half long song or something like that, animated to them playing it and some visuals to go along with it. And I was watching the music video and I thought to myself, suppose this was Soundwaves and you had to do music video fillers. So Rhapsody and Melody get a hold of music video software to make these videos. What would they make with it? And suddenly I had an angle to create a music video in the visuals. And because it was, you know, a side thing, you know, it's just, you know, it's not part of the actual continuity of Soundwaves. It's just the two girls screwing around with music video software. So I don't have to introduce the characters or anything. I just have to, you know, let them perform. And I did the first one, Share My Love, which was more or less just a test to see if I could actually do something. And from there, I've just been trying to expand my capabilities and what I can do. And what happened was the shakeups. I had met them way back when I was writing for Bleeding Cool. I'm a fan of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. And there's a gag in the fandom about this character called Dr. Hooves. Basically, if Dr. Who was a pony in the show. And a lot of people made little Dr. Hooves comics or audio dramas or whatever. And I even took a stab at it myself, and I came up with three stories. Well, I went to Indie PopCon one year, and at the time, the Shakeups were the Shakeups of Ponyville. They were a My Little Pony tribute band. And it turns out they were fans of the comics that I did. And we talked a little bit. I still have the CD from them, from that visit, in fact. And when I started doing the videokies, I reached out to them because it's like, well, they're a band. Maybe they they can give me some feedback as to whether or not this is any good or not. It was for the Debbie Gibson Only in My Dreams video. And they liked it, and they said, well, hey, we have a song. Would you be interested in doing a video for it? And I said, sure, and it was Stella Stalagmite. And it just went from there. So I came up with a video, And it just went live like last week. And it was definitely, but I wouldn't have done the video if it weren't for Videoki and Rhapsody and Melody giving me something to do and something to look forward to.
That is just so cool. So then, now tell me something. I'm going to have to back up a little bit. So you talk about when you met this band, the Shakeups. Just to make sure I'm hearing things correctly, did you tell me sometime earlier that they were a My Little Pony tribute band?
Yes. Yeah, that was how they started off.
You
want to
break
that
down?
Pardon? Well, I mean, the only thing that's surprising is that they did regular pop and rock songs. Usually in the folk movement, it's mostly, you know, just a single person with a guitar singing about like Star Trek or Doctor Who or something like that. So, but there were just like you had the Wizard Rock movement for Harry Potter. There were actual My Little Pony tribute bands that had popped up in the heyday of Friendship is Magic. And they were one of them, and they actually had managed to build themselves a following. And I mean, like I said, they were at the Indie Pop Con. They actually performed there, and they still tour around doing little gigs. I say little gigs because three of the members have formed another tribute band. It's a Star Wars tribute band called the 3POs, and so some of them are kind of splitting their time between two acts right now. But the Shakeups themselves, I think after their third album, went more of a general pop culture direction. So they're really big on Voltron. And their publicity pictures have them wearing Steven Universe T-shirts and that. So they've expanded their horizons to be more than just My Little Pony now. And they're having the time of their lives, and they're very good. Their music is great. It's a lot of fun.
How could they not be? I mean, I can't imagine not being fun at all. So they asked you to do the video for Stella Stalagmite, and that was just, what do they call it now, dropped, broken, published last week?
Or uploaded, or however you want to say it.
Uploaded,
yeah.
Upload to the download. Load to the uplink or something. Okay. All right. And I've been showing that on my social media, and we're going to continue to. Maybe you can talk those guys into coming to the Genie Bottle.
I'll be more than happy to reach out to them. No problem.
Now that I've got it in with you.
They were just in Chicago last weekend. There was an indie band show, and they were one of the featured performers. So, and they said, "Hey, you wanna be able to come up?" I said, "Well, I can't because I gotta get ready because C2E2, the big comic convention, is this coming weekend. I gotta get ready for it. And besides, if I did, I'd be showing up there with the production art and storyboards. Can you sign my stuff for me, please?" It's a music video I made for someone else. It's kind of a big deal for me, so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's not all. I mean, you made one for a corporate client, a satellite communications company, for AVL Technologies Incorporated.
I said, yeah, did a little commercial for you. So.
And it was, you know, well, you got a corporate client, and you know somebody else is always trying to get it. That client from you, believe me, because people would message me on the social media saying, "Hey, who does your so-and-so for you? You know, we do that too." And you know,
and
how do I?
Somebody
I can't
that can,
get my
that can make cartoons. That's something that not everybody has.
Oh no, nobody else has a. Yeah, I gotta say, what is the Shakespeare line? I am wealthy, my friends, and I am. I know I am. So I had to be very polite and answer for the company going, "Oh, that's interesting. We do have someone we're happy with, but we'll keep you in mind." So, but yeah, it's been, I think it's been enough time to where I could play that for the public. So I will post that on some of my social media soon, if you don't mind, giving you full credit. You know, we also play a band, getting back to music for just a moment, a band I'm very fond of out of Liverpool, the UK, and they are called Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. And Peter, are you interested in soccer at all, or as they call it, football over there?
Not really. I'm more of a basketball fan myself.
Okay. Well, when they play, when the Liverpool team plays at the studio there, George Sefton, the longtime and very popular announcer, during the halftime shows, he plays music by Joe Symes and the Loving Kind.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. They've got quite a, they've been doing some shows opening for events created by the guys in Oasis and also Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and such. So I'm going to play something from their newest album. It's called Portmanteau. You may have heard them recently on the show talking about it. And the song is called It's All Too Late by Joe Symes and the Loving Kind.
Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who gonna coach this team. They don't got no talent on
you
it. And I don't really feel I talk.
That's kind of harsh.
I don't feel I talk about the Knicks right
you
now.
You want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madame Perry's Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all these bestseller authors, Rostov, all the comedians.
What about people that don't have rings?
Here we go again.
Real funny,
Chuck.
Real funny. But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
Hey, Peter.
Hey.
Peter G., animator, author, artist, thank you for being here as my guest on Madame Perry Salon, and thank you for being my longtime friend. How did we meet, by the way?
You just reached out to me on LinkedIn. You'd seen some of the stuff that I did. I think it was the Hannah Singer books, in fact. And that was how we first made the connection, and we've just been pals ever since.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that. It's a delightful friendship, and I'm very lucky. And one day, you know, this is happening. Like I said, you know, when I was in Los Angeles, I met my friend Deanna Bellarose, who took me to see Trucker Bomb, and then afterwards she and Ursula of the band and several other people, we went to a Latin dinner and club, a restaurant and club, and danced and danced and danced and danced until they finally said, at I think it was midnight or 1 o'clock their time, they said, "Oh, are you bored?" I said, "No, honey, this is 1 a.m. for you. It's 4 a.m. for me, okay?" They thought I was a lightweight, Peter. And you know that I am. So, yeah, thanks to cons of different things, I'm meeting people that I've known on social media for a while. So hopefully I will get to meet you in the real liveness soon. You're going someplace interesting this weekend.
Yes, C2E2, the comic book show put on by Reed Pop in Chicago. And I'm going to be going there. I've kind of drifted away from working in the comic book industry, but I still have some good friends that are there. There's a longtime comic book letter, Tom Orzechowski. He's been working in comics for literal decades. And we used to know each other back when we were members of an amateur press association. And he's coming to Chicago this weekend. And so this is going to be the first time that we've met ever, despite knowing each other back in the early 2000s.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting there. I'm going to be meeting Joe McPhee. He's a comic creator and he's a producer. And for years, we've been talking about trying to collaborate on some kind of an animated movie. And now I'm actually moving forward on the script on it. So I'll be meeting up with him and bringing him up to speed on progress on the script, because once you get the script done, it's got to be rewritten so it can add more jokes. And then from there, you know, he's got, like I said, he's the producer. He knows a bunch of people that are like, you know, looking to break in as artists. And breaking in on an animated movie would be a big feather in their cap. And I'll be the one stitching the whole thing together.
That's fantastic.
But it's a long way away.
Uh-huh.
When it's something that I'm working on where I'm the one who's doing all the art and stuff like that, I can get it done pretty quick. But this is a collaborative effort, so that's going to take some time. But the end results will be worth it.
Oh, I know it will. You know, I don't know if how you feel, you know, if you felt this about people that you've met. I'm sure you have. People that you meet through the internet, social media. And I got to say, and I've said this before, and Peter, you've known me long enough to know that if I've said it once, you're probably going to get stuck having to hear it about 50 more times, right? But I like that. I can hear that little laugh. You're trying to hold it back, but you know it's true. And that's why you're laughing. And I know it's laughter with love. But for all the bad things, the people say, "Oh, it's an awful place," or "I don't want to be on this social media because it's awful, awful, awful stuff." Well, you know, it's sort of like a lot of things in life. You're going to experience what you seek out and what you veer towards, because I have met some of the most delightful, fun, entertaining people on social media. Several I've been fortunate to have as guests on the show, and just it's fun. I hang around on social media with the fun people, the clever, the creative people, and just enjoy their company, enjoy learning from them, being enlightened. And I've gotten so many fantastic guests. One of the greatest reviews I ever heard for Madam Perry Salon. And by the way, this is a great time to say, if you listen to the show and you've been listening a while, if you enjoy it, if you don't, I always want to know. But you can follow on your favorite podcast app and leave a review. I would really appreciate it. One of my favorites was a listener that said, sometimes the guests are famous. Sometimes it's people you've never heard of. But still, it's always interesting. They're always interesting guests. And I think that's a great compliment because I do that, intentionally, try to mix everything up. It might be a NASA JPL expert one week and somebody that's just been on the Today Show the next. So, and also, on Spotify, they have this thing now where I can make questions and ask you what you think about the show, or you can just say what you think on there too, and that's good. So please, people, leave a message. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think, Peter.
Oh, you always know what I think. But yes, please. But yes,
and
everybody reach out. Sometimes just that one little comment can make someone's day. So please reach out to those that you enjoy and let them know that you're out there.
Yes, please. Because I am so proud of everyone that agrees to give time and be a guest on my show, like Peter and like everyone I have on, I want more people to know about them. So thank you. And let's see, what else? And I also like suggestions. And Peter, I started a little short courtroom type show, and I've only posted one episode so far, but you were very helpful in that. A few years ago, I and even my husband worked as paid participants of a lot of courtroom shows that are filmed in Atlanta. And do you ever watch court shows, Peter? Come on, tell the truth.
Sometimes, not very often, but sometimes. It helps you get the rhythm for the Hannah Singer stories down.
Good, very good. I did so many of them. I did a lot of Lauren Drake's paternity court, court with Judge Lynn Toler, the couples court with the Cutlers, and I got to say, for one thing, it's easy for us to be sitting back left at these shows. But once I got in there, there were two things about each and every one of those that I felt. One was that the judges, Lynn Toler, Lauren Lake, the Cutlers, it's a husband and wife judge team. I liked them when I saw them on TV. But seeing them real life, I adored them even more. They were all very, very nice people. And even though it's showbiz, they really did, to me, they're very sincere about helping people. My other feeling on that, too, Peter, was once you sit through so many cases of people saying, no, I wasn't cheating on her because I sent a text saying we were broken up, and then I hit it with this other girl, and then afterwards I sent another text saying, no, we're not broken up, we're back together. You get things like that, and you walk out thinking, forget global warming, forget all kinds of political situations, unrest in this country. Forget everything. We're not worth saving.
Yeah. Sometimes you're amazed that people have one or two dates, let alone one or two girlfriends.
I know. And then they spawn all these poor children. Anyway. And, of course, my husband, he just delighted in doing things like, say, the doctor's office. Oh, I can't come in that day. I've got paternity court or whatever. So they go, oh, that's too bad. But let's see. This has flown by so fast, and I'm so sorry, Peter. There's a lot of things that we wanted to talk about with your career that I didn't mention. Is there anything you want to come up with now to tell people to look out for with you?
Not quite sure yet. At the moment, I'm working on a new video key, but that's not going to be done for a while. And I have the next three songs planned out. The next one that's coming up is I'm Going to Get You by Kelly Cosmo. It's a rock song, and basically it's just an excuse to have Rhapsody Melody acting out rock star moves like the windmill, the Arc de Triomphe, the backward stewardess strut, things like that. And, oh, yeah, it's basically a greatest hits of rock and roll moves. So, But other than that, my main emphasis right now, now that I've got other things caught up, is to get that script done for the animated movie and get that up and running. And then, you know, we'll see where we go from there.
Okay. All right.
But at some point, Rhapsody and Melody will be popping up again. So.
Good. I love Rhapsody and Melody, and I'm going to be sharing more of their work, too. If you want to see more of Peter G's work or get to know Peter, I'll be sharing his website, his work, social media tags, and all of my social media, not just Madame Perry Salon, but also my personal social media, because I just think the world of you, Peter, and I am so grateful that we met and that you're my friend.
Thank you. I try to make it worthwhile.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you know, how many times, I love the fact that my husband knows, I've told him this sometimes, I'll say, you know, I think Peter thinks more of me than I deserve, than I merit, because he'll call me up talking about, did you hear about so-and-so with these different production companies, animation, the things and people and media, that you hear about all this? And I said, I have no idea what he's talking about, but I listen because, one, I could learn a lot. Two, he's called me to share this with me. That's exciting. And then, of course, my husband will say, well, what did happen? I said, I just listened. He goes, no, what happened with so-and-so and so-and-so? I go, honey, that's anybody's guess. You'll have to talk to Peter about that. So, but I love people that introduce me to new things, new people, new art, new ideas. And I think that's another reason why I just enjoy you, as well as your wild sense of humor. Now, I've told you that the my friends, the Zombies, I just got a pop-up a few minutes ago from the Zombies website tagging me in something. And actually, that's another person, some other people that I've met that I knew were friends with for a long time, people associated with them, and finally got to meet in person recently. But because of that, and the Zombies tour is on, I want to say right now, the Zombies are still on tour, but the American party is over. I saw them in Atlanta last month. Badass show, the best. The band's Steve Rodford, Tom Toomey, Colin Blundstone, Corin Sodge, Rod Argent, is just so powerful and just so magnificent. And now I think they're on their UK tour, part of the tour. And a friend of mine I've met through them, Kayla Kassler. You can listen to her on Spotify and different things. She's going to be on the show soon. But right now, she and Bruce Sudano, who's been on the show twice, Bruce Sudano, singer-songwriter, has written several songs, you know, like Alive and Kickin's, Come On, Hold On Just a Little Bit Tighter Now, Baby, and different things. Plus, he wrote several songs with his ex-wife. The first day they met, they were introduced by their record company, Casablanca, and they wrote the song. Do you know what I'm going to say, Peter?
No, you go ahead and say it. I'm waiting.
You know who Peter, you know who Bruce Sudano's late wife was?
It was Irene Cara, wasn't it?
No. Donna Summer.
Sorry. Oh. Oops, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's what gets dialogue going.
To be fair, Cara was signed with Casablanca Records, so.
Oh, she was? Yeah, and I saw, well, she died, what, about 3 years ago, which was a shame. I loved Irene Cara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Flash Dance with a Feeling is still one of the greatest songs ever.
Oh, yeah. I used to, you know, one night I was with my band, the Jennifer Perry Combo. We were playing, we had this regular gig once a month rotation for years at this Museum of Natural History when they had Martinis and IMAX night. And one night at the very last song, I kind of made a joke about Last Dance, and my keyboard player said, started playing it, and he says, if you sing it, I'll play it. And that became our last song for the rest of our residency there. Everybody loves it. But anyway, Bruce Sedano is on tour opening for the Zombies in the UK. Kayla Kassler is also. I am so proud of this young woman, and she's going to have her own feature on this show soon. So let's just play, though, Bad Girls by Bruce Sedano to close out. Do you have any parting words for the people, Peter? And again, thank you so much for giving me your time, your friendship, and your talent here.
Thanks for accepting it, and thank you for giving it back to me. Thank you.
So here we're going to go with, I think this might be one of your favorite songs. Beep Beep, Bad Girls. Thank you. Oh, but this is not Bad Girls. This is still a good song.
Everybody's feeling out there on a limb, running from the devil at the will of the wind. Stranded in the jungle, lives are on the line, overwhelmed by everything, and just not enough time. But you can't look at the mountain when you're reaching for the sky. Can't look at the mountain, though it's up too high. Cast the mighty shadow, let no light into your eyes, when all you've got is faith. Don't look at the mountain, or you'll make me climb. Oh no. Far too many branches, stretched out way too thin. Trying to stay above the water, it's always sink or swim. Feeling too much pressure, no one wants to drown. But it does no good to worry. At the mountain, you're reaching for the sky. Don't look at the mountain when you're reaching for the sky. It casts a mighty shadow. Let's know.